And turn with me in the book of Proverbs to chapter 20. So we're jumping forward a little bit here. Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going to look at verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read this in the ESV. It's a little bit different than the other translations. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Let's ask the Lord's help as we look into his word. Father in heaven, we bless you for yourself. We bless you that you have given us a faithful word which is true for us and applies to each one of us. We do pray that you would open it up. We do pray that you would deal with each one of us according to our needs in this day in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm kind of going to mash these two together a little bit and not going to look at every word in them, but the aggregate we are going to look at. So the first thing that we notice is that there is a nearly universal declaration of my own goodness that this scripture speak of here. It says, many a man proclaims his own goodness or steadfast love. And this is a truism among human beings. Well, I may not be, perfect, but I am better than so-and-so. And those things that are not so good about me have reasons for them. We may be good on a human plane, a good friend or husband or wife, son or daughter or parent. We find we can't live with ourselves otherwise unless we in some sense conform to our own conscience. The scriptures have another outlook for us, however, and that is the unchanging standard of God, which is his own holiness. And a man, in order to come to terms rightly with who he has been made to be, will of necessity come to terms with that. In this same book, just a few verses along the way, in verse 9, Solomon says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? There is a universal recognition in these scriptures that every man falls short of that which a man was made to be. There is a standard that God has set, and it is not that which we attain to since the fall of Adam. We know a standard. We fail to arrive at that standard. And now, what do we do with that? There is a way provided in the death of the Son of God, in which sin is dealt with. And until a man comes to terms with that fact, instead of attempting to cover up his own sin, as Achan in the book of Joshua took some gold and then hid it real well in his tent. And that is so often what we do. Well, it's not so bad, or it's gone, it's in the past. What can I do about the past? Until we face up to it and then find in facing it that there is a complete dealing with it in the Son of God. Till then, the insides of a man become more and more warped, and he is dealing with his sin in a twisted fashion, and life is complicated. So many proclaim goodness, and the scriptures say here, but a faithful man who can find? So if a faithful man is hard to find, what does this look like if there is one who has faced sin and is now moving forward in the forgiveness that God gives? What does that look like? Well, there are two words in these two verses that are key to this. There's the word faithful and there's the word integrity. So the faithful is hard to find, and it says, and integrity is his rule. Jesus puts it very similarly, and I'm gonna go there, and then we'll just kind of put that off to one side, and then we'll attempt to put them together. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 puts it this way. He says, seek first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What the Lord Jesus is saying is there's a view out. First things first. I'm not at the final fruition of the kingdom of God, but I have found, I'm still seeking it. You notice here the seeking aspect of Jesus' teaching. It's not a self-satisfied, I have found and I'm okay here. It is, as we've been noticing going through the book of Philippians in the mornings, the Apostle Paul has found Christ's righteousness, but there is a continual seeking. Having been given Christ's righteousness, but finding that there is continual failings from the world, the flesh, and the devil, there is a looking forward at all times. That's what this is saying. That's what this integrity thing is about. The Apostle Paul, again in this passage we've been looking at in Philippians, he says, walk according to what you've attained. He says, you can't spend your life with your head on a swivel. This is Philippians 3:16. Walk according to what you've attained. You cannot use somebody else's understanding, even somebody else's life as a, well, I'll just do that. You can't do that. You can only be who and where you are in that sense. Oh, that's hard. Well, it is. That's why the word is called integrity. How does this come about? How can I possibly have and yet seek, have a firm foundation and yet be moving forward? Well, it is faith that grasps those things that are revealed so that there is an ability to move forward and not be slavishly attached to somebody else's understanding. Faith grasps those things that are revealed and acts on them, but recognize the lack of a full grasp. The Apostle Paul says, I haven't yet attained, I haven't grasped maturity or perfection yet. How can you possibly live in what seems like quicksand to say, well, I'm not there. I'm not there. Oh, but I have sight of one who is, who has hold of me. And that's the Son of God. The life I have is life from Him. There's a difference, a basic difference between the worldling's basic motivation. The worldling would like to say, well, I am inherently, insatiably curious about you name it. And that is the thing in itself, for itself. So, you know, from a child, I loved music and I loved it for itself, or nature, or you name it. So curiosity is supposed to be the key thing. That's not true for the believer. It's not merely human curiosity. Faith seeks, but faith knows that for which it seeks. Faith seeks a city. Faith seeks the place where the Savior is. And so we, by faith, seek. We, by faith, seek. How can we describe this integrity then? We have to describe this integrity as sincerity. It's a sincere view at the Savior, a rejection of ungodly influences. There is such a thing as a fake integrity. A fake integrity says, well, I have a right and a responsibility to find my own values. The dirty word here would be bourgeois. Those are derived middle class values. The bourgeois merely took the values that maybe their parents had, adopted them unchanged, and they live a comfortable middle class life. And the opposite of that, according to these folks, would be you've got to forge out and forge your own values. The bourgeois, their values are not internalized. They're somebody else's. Therefore, they're not their own. What's not understood is that for the believer, his values are both derived, that is, given to him by God, and internalized. God says, this is real, this is true, and the believer is enabled by faith to take it in on the inside and now work it back out by faith and by love, by both derived and his own by grace. We see this in in Old Testament examples. Here's David. David says, I have walked in my integrity. Psalm 26:1. I have walked in my integrity. I am sincere, he says. I am, he says this in midst and following his trials. I have been tried by difficulty. And in the difficulty, the heart says to itself, is God with me? Is God with me? Integrity says, yes, I will move forward with God despite difficulty. And Job is exactly the same way. The word integrity continues to come up in Job. He holds on to his integrity in the midst of his great difficulty. He says, I will hold to my integrity. In other words, that I am God's, that I am not a hypocrite, but that he has remade me. God himself recites this back to Satan. He holds to his integrity. See that sincerity. He is a whole person standing before Almighty God. Not perfect. Job sins in the midst of the book and repents in chapter 40. I repent in dust and ashes. But he holds to the fact that he is the Lord's. His wife in chapter 2, verse 9, urges him, give up your integrity. Uses that word. And he says, till I die, I will not put my integrity away from me. Chapter 27, verse 5. Integrity, then, is not a natural given thing. It is Satan's prey. He desires to take it. It's the believer's prize. God has taken hold of me. I am to be a whole person in his sight, wholeheartedly. And that really is what the word means from the original. It's a unit. It's a unitary thing. The believer then must be upheld by God in integrity. It's a way of life. I'm not fragmented. What are some results of this integrity? Well, certainly, personally, there is an active faith. I am not, in that sense, as I just said, fragmented. Now, we all have ups and downs. Fragmented says, I don't know where God is so much of the time. Integrity says, I go to him for difficulties large and small. Faith is activated. Talk about activated charcoal. And what you use activated charcoal for is a filter for water or air. Our faith is active in that sense. Our circumstances, providences go through the activated charcoal, the activated faith in us. And they're purified there. They come in nasty, mean toward us. They come out benign. They come out good for us. How? By faith. By faith. So the results of this integrity are an active faith in providence and active faith in the Word. The Word now is not merely passively absorbed, but actively sought and applied to the maximum extent possible. It is something that we say as we read, before we read, after we read, Lord, give me that which is useful. Enable me to understand. Give me progress in your Word. It is clear that I will fall back if I do not have supplies of grace at a minimum and increasing understanding that is needful for your children. Then the last piece of this, and Solomon speaks of this in the family. He says, blessed are his children after him. So integrity is here applied in the context of the family. What does that look like? Well, let me put it negatively. You can't teach or be an example of that which is not your own. And Solomon is applying this specifically in a family situation. You can't say, here, I want you to be like this, or let me show you, or let me teach you that which is not your own. Truly, it's not just something that you have the words of, but you have some inner understanding of, that which you can work with in some depth, in some reality, when in some inner core understanding. We would call it these days an emotional intelligence with regards whatever it is that the Scriptures teach and ought to be modeled. It's not just a store model. It's a living, working, moving model of the scriptural truth. We saw this morning that the Apostle Paul said, that which you've seen in me, you need to find others and you need to emulate that. Well, though that is not merely just actions. It has an inner logic to it. The Apostle Paul, as he says, my inner logic is I'm seeking Christ. I don't have everything, but I'm seeking Christ. That's integrity. That needs to be true for parents, for friends. He says in Proverbs 22:6, he says, train up a child in the way that he should go. There certainly is explicit didactic teaching. We ought to teach the catechism to our children. But we ought to teach them that which we know spiritually. Blessed the one who walks in his integrity. Blessed are his children after him. Where there is consistency of spiritual outlook, that is the train up a child. Not take them to Sunday school. Not give them things in their heads. Robert Louis Stevenson used to love to have negative characters in his books who knew all the theology. In Treasure Island, he has a pirate who says, oh, I could rattle off the catechism like nothing when I was a child. And here he turns out to be reprobate. So it's not the bare knowledge. It's the inner knowledge of aspiration, of true spiritual seeking of Christ. And for that one, he says, blessed are his children after him. There is a promise here, both here and in Proverbs 22. There is that which will not depart, that which, not the promise of salvation, but certainly that which will not depart. And what is the inner truth? Well, it's integrity. It is the single-mindedness toward Christ that is consistently carried out. So the believer here is called not to perfection. He's called on to Christ. Many, many will say, well, I'm doing my best here. Are we seeking Christ? Or are we seeking betterness? Are we seeking more knowledge? Are we seeking some consistency in doing? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's close in prayer.